chats across the street over at the manse, and so I'm thinking this winter we might have hot tub chats. But I don't know if we're all going to fit, Barry. What a glorious day. I honestly don't have any reason to be up here because the real sermon is going to be what takes place behind me in a few minutes. We're going to witness a baptism, one of the two ordinances of the church, the other being communion, which we will be celebrating in 2 weeks from now. I wanted to just take a minute to talk a little bit about baptism. First of all, it's not new. It's been around, of course, in the Christian church for thousands of years, but it was around for hundreds of years before that. It was practiced by Jews and Egyptians, and even pagan religions often practiced the form of baptism. It was often associated with ritual cleansing, right? But it also symbolized identification with a group, right? When you wanted to join a group. In fact, the origin of the word comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means to dip or to dye, as in dyeing cloth. And if you were around this summer for our kids' camp, otherwise known as VBS, we don't call it that anymore because it has school in the name, and that's a dirty word. So we call it kids' camp, and we had a Nazareth village set up downstairs, and in one of the little shops, there was a dyer of cloth. And I was so excited because that dyer of cloth, that baptizer, if you will, took each child's headband with their name on it and turned it a different color, whatever color for the tribe that they were going to be in for kids' camp. And in other words, they became identified with that group through the dyeing of that cloth as it came out, whatever color it was for their group. So I want you to put a bookmark in your brain about that because it's important and explains why I was so excited to see that dyer of cloth, that baptizer, down in our little village. We as Protestants and evangelicals, we don't view the ordinances of the church, baptism and communion, as mechanisms for salvation, and that's why we tend to avoid the word sacraments. You may be familiar with that word if you come from a different background. Instead, we often regard them as symbols or signs of the grace that's already been bestowed before. And to underscore that these practices are not the methods of grace, we prefer to call them ordinances instead. These ordinances are symbolic acts that illustrate the gospel message. They're not prerequisites for salvation, but they serve as a visual representation to enhance our comprehension and our appreciation of Jesus' redemptive work. They also act as a public declaration of one's faith in Christ. So why do we practice them? Why is it so important? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons why it's extremely important that we practice these. One, the first one is, it was instituted by our Lord. That's a pretty good reason. The second reason is it was taught by the apostles for us to practice this. And the third reason is it was practiced in the early church. And so we have continued this for 2,000 years to keep this alive. There's a biblical backing for baptism in the very last words recorded of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And so I'm going to read those to you. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we're going to take a look at this picture of baptism, which is multifaceted like a diamond. And we're going to examine it from some different angles so we can see the beauty of it and revel in it. The first is this. It's a ritual cleansing with water, like I talked about before. But what we're talking about is the cleansing of our sin. That's what the picture of this cleansing is about, is the cleansing of our sin. It's symbolic of cleansing and rebirth. And I'm going to turn over to the book of Acts now. And I'm going to read from chapter 22, verse 16. It says this, "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord." I love that. See, baptism serves as a public declaration where individuals affirm their faith in Jesus Christ, expressing their intent that they are purified from sin and to begin anew in His grace. But why do we need cleansed? I mean, I just took a shower. So what's the point of it? Well, that's where the bad news is. And I want to talk a little bit about that first. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For everyone has sinned and has fallen short of God's glorious standard." That's why we need this public declaration, this image of being cleansed from our sin, because all of us are sinners. We all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. And the result of that sin is it has created a chasm between us and God. This whole problem started back in the beginning of the Bible, all the way back in Genesis, where we read about this sin problem, where the first couple, Adam and Eve, defied God in the only way that they could. And the result of that rebellion was death. It was spiritual death, separation from this intimate relationship that they had with God, forming a chasm between them. But it also resulted in physical death in the form of a blood sacrifice to atone for that act of rebellion. It required a blood sacrifice because God takes sin very seriously. But that's where we find the good news. God provided a once-for-all sacrifice to bridge that chasm that was created there in the garden. And if we go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son." And I'm going to go on. It says this in the next verse, "So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." That is so glorious. So there's another reason that I want to talk about baptism. Besides this picture of ritual cleansing, it's identification with Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, right? That's the picture of going under the waters and coming back up, this picture of Christ dying, being buried, and then raised on the third day. Remember the dyer of cloth I told you was important? That baptism, that identifies you with a group as well, right? It identifies you as becoming a part of this body of believers we call Christians. It's not just making that public confession or profession that we are joining this group, but that we are identifying with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And over in Romans 6:3, it says this, "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." And that brings us to another point. And that is that baptism is an outward symbol of an inward transformation. It's a symbol of the new life as we come up out of that water. It's symbolic of our old man, our old flesh, putting it to death so that sin no longer reigns in our mortal bodies, and coming out a new creation, a new creature. It's this beautiful symbol of it. And it teaches that grace does not come from external symbols or rituals. In fact, no ceremony is required for salvation. Grace is described as God's generous gift bestowed freely upon us, those who don't merit it. And I'm going to flip over to the book of Titus, which my pages were all stuck together because I hardly ever go there. But we're going to read a little bit out of Titus today. Titus 3:4, actually. And it says this: "But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of His grace, He declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life." Now, I don't know about you, but these pictures of this unbelievable event just get me so excited. Just talking about it makes me as happy as a dog with two tails. And that brings me to my last point. This is not just a ritual for the folks that are going to be up here. This is a picture for all of us. As I alluded to in the beginning, the true sermon this morning is what's about to take place on this stage. It's an opportunity for each one of us to examine our own hearts and recognize the beauty of this. We look at it just like when we take communion. It's an opportunity for us to look at our hearts. Do we have the assurance that these symbols represent? Do we have our position in Christ, just like these believers that are going to be up here in a minute? It's nothing of our own merit that merits eternal life, but only by His grace and sacrifice that we have confidence that our entrance into eternal life is secure. If you don't have that this morning, I would invite you to just sit silently for a minute and pray to the Lord Jesus, because only He has the power to save you. And I'm going to just take 1 minute for us to examine our hearts, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, thank You for this beautiful day that we have to share together. Thank You for allowing us each to be a part of this beautiful ordinance that we are fulfilling in obedience to You. Thank You for the participants, God. I just pray, God, that You would comfort them right now. I know that it can be nerve-wracking being up in front of a lot of people, God, and I just pray that You would comfort their hearts, just calm their hearts, calm their nerves, and know that they are loved as they come before You. God, if there's folks here that aren't sure where they stand in You, God, I just pray that You would touch their hearts right now, God, and that they would join me in saying this prayer. God, I know that I've fallen short. I know that I have not been who You would like me to be. I recognize that, God, and I turn away from that, Lord Jesus. I just turn away from that. And God, I just ask that You would just fill my heart and be a part of my life. And God, I just pray as we continue through this service that it would be for Your glory. Every bit of it would be for Your glory, and none for mine. And I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. All right, I think that we've got a song, and our get ready.